on the front line of freedom. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a tribute to Hall of Fame sports announcer Lon Simmons, who died April 5th at the age of 91. We heard how he ended up in the Coast Guard. He would be on an LST for the invasion of Saipan, but his 3.5 years in uniform also included some time aboard a Coast Guard cutter in Hawaii.
So we were on that and took sub-patrol around the islands. And so we traveled to most all the islands in Hawaii, and then we would either come into Pearl Harbor to dock or to Honolulu to dock. Mm-hmm. So our job there was to basically just keep the ship running and do our chores and stand watch and stand wheel watch and do normal ship duties. But there were occasions like Navy used to do bombing on Kohalavi here, and they needed equipment to build structures that they were going to bomb. So on the cutter, we had a pulling boat, single bank that we used. So we went over, we had to go over to Kohalavi, and we had all this equipment that we were carrying over there. And we had to take it ashore on our pulling boat. So it was just like surfing. We had to go through the surf to get to the sand. And the one time, we had to take us into the sand, and we'd get off, pull the boat up on there, and take this the equipment off. And then we would go back, and we'd have to run out through the breakers and all running, pushing the boat, and get out there and then jump in the boat and just grab your paddle and start paddling so we could get through the break like you're trying to get out if you're going out to ride a surfboard in. But the one day coming in, we breached. The boat flipped completely over and threw us all out of the boat. And our oar locks were still in the gunwale, and the boat came down and hit me on the gunwale hit me on the head. Mm. And fortunately, I was in deep enough water, and it was a pretty heavy boat, and it hit me and knocked me down deeper in the water, but it didn't knock me out, or it didn't kill me, or it didn't crush me. I just went down and then came back up. But fortunately, those oar locks were still in there. If one of those had hit me in the head, it certainly would have done some damage. And then one of the members of the crew wasn't thrown out, but he was up in the bow of the boat, and the boat was still tipped over, and he just came up on the beach plowing sand with his hands. And so that was quite an experience. But it was a fun job running out through the waves, pretending we were surfers getting out there. So it was an interesting incident. We had many of those where they were interesting things that we did. And then the one time we had a skipper who was sort of a character, and we had the only armament we had on the boat was a small cannon. Uh-huh. And so now we're out on patrol, and we flash identification numbers at night to the ship that we see, and it doesn't return the call. So our skipper figures, well, that's an enemy craft out there, so he sends us all to general quarters. We take the cover off the gun, and we're getting ready to fire at the ship. And fortunately, they return the call finally, and it was a U.S. destroyer. Ooh. And if we'd have fired one little round, we would have been blown completely out of the water. But it was funny because he was really gung-ho. He thought that was a Japanese ship, and we were going to blow it away.
You know, and these are the stories that I get a kick out of, and I think back, every guy that I've had on this show, every World War II veteran can point to a moment where if things go a little differently, he's not here talking to me. And so many of our great sports figures had the same kind of stories. John Wooden was destined to be on the USS Franklin and would have been kamikazed if he didn't have a knee injury right before he was supposed to go over. And for you, I guess, if you got hit on the head a little harder by that ship, or if that other one, if the destroyer hadn't finally returned that communication, then you wouldn't have had to call all those great plays.
But the thing is that then when we went on the LST, we were all tied up in Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. 28 LSTs were tied up, all loaded with troops and ammunition and big landing boats on our deck. And there was some welding going on one of the ships, and it caused an explosion. Mm. Now everything started blowing up. Ships started catching on fire. We had to chop lines to get out, and some of the troops that were on the ships panicked and were diving over the side into the water. instead of staying on the ship.
Like, that's going to be safer, huh?
And yeah, and then they're now under in the water where these ships are all coming out trying to get out of the place where we were to get to a safe area, and they were hit by the ships, and some of the ships were badly damaged, and nothing was ever mentioned about it.
Right.
But because of the fact that we were getting ready to go to Saipan, which we did, but they didn't want any mention of this happening because they didn't want any news to get the Japanese. I'm sure the Japanese knew about it as soon as it happened, but that was a thing that was never reported happened. But
well, there were a lot of those.
It was an amazing thing with ships blowing up and ammunition going off and everything. And our captain was blown right off the deck, onto the deck, off of the wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a weird, wild thing. But we got it back together and eventually got on our way and went to Saipan.
And I guess you had to kind of stand by and watch helplessly through all of that, huh?
Well, there was not much you could do except try to get the ship untied from the other. We were all tied together.
Right.
And chop the lines and get out. And nothing we could do except the engineers and stuff had to start the engines and get those going. And we were just going to get out of there. I was running my buddy and I, we had two personnel landing barges on the LST, and he and I ran those. That was our means of transportation when we were in the harbor, and it was our means of taking the troops ashore when we were in the place where they had to land.
So how many landings did you participate in
just
that
one?
Way?
Just
at Saipan?
When we were on the beach, the Japanese were leaving Saipan to get over to Tinian, and that's where they had the Royal troops, supposedly the top troops
right.
in Japan, were on Tinian. And the Japanese on Saipan were coming out at night in rubber boats and everything else that they had to get across the Tinian. And they were going behind us, all of which were on the beach. And then sometimes as they'd go by, they'd have machine guns or something, they'd shoot up the ship, so we had to be on watch all the time. And then Tinian, they were firing big guns at us, but they couldn't quite reach us. They were just falling short of us, so we were never hit by any of them. My buddy and I were on our landing barges that we took. We went around to all the other ships. We would go in and pick people up off the beach and take them to the ships that they'd come in on, either for medical attention or if they were being relieved there. So we were traveling around doing that and taking supplies off some of the ships and everything.
Was it difficult emotionally to see these wounded soldiers that you're taking back to ships?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I picked up one fellow one day who was, he had been on the opening day of invasion. This was about 5 or 6 days later, and he still thought it was, he wasn't wounded, but he was just completely shocked. He still thought it was D-Day on the island. He still thought it was the first day that it came on.
Wow.
And there were others. See, what happened there at Saipan, too, is they would dig foxholes, and the troops would go in the foxholes at night, but many of the Japanese soldiers could speak English, and they would, at night, would sneak over and come over to one of these foxholes and say something about, hey, buddy, what you, and jump into the foxhole with the guy, and the guy would think it was an American soldier, and they'd kill the guys in the foxhole. And so that was a treacherous thing. So they really had a tough job. I never considered having a tough job being on that ship when we were on the beach, because we said goodbye to the guys, and they had to go out there and take the majority of the problems. The ship that I was off, and my buddy and I were really upset about it, because when we came back, it was an old LST, and we thought, well, we'll take our 30 days leave, and then we'll come back and get on a new LST, and it'll go to another place. Well, they took our old LST and went to the Philippines, and that's where we'd wanted to go.
Uh-huh.
And so they got to go to the Philippines, and we did. So that was upsetting. Talk about, we were in and we wanted to get in all the action we could because we felt that was the only way that we were really helping anything.
Did you ever think you might not make it home?
You know, you don't think about those things. I mean, if you think about them, if you think you're going to survive whatever happens. I didn't, I never felt that. I remember when we were going to Saipan and we had, truck was one of the big bases of the Japanese, and this entire flight of Japanese bombers came over us. And here we had this hole, and the biggest guns we had were destroyers that were escorting us. They could have dropped bombs without impunity because we couldn't have reached them.
Mm-hmm.
They just flew right over us and didn't do anything. And they had to be able to see us. So, I don't know, things just sort of worked out for me, not to get killed, I guess.
We're all thankful for that, for a lot of reasons.
I don't know how thankful we have to be. There are a lot of people that couldn't give thanks because they were killed doing what they had to do and what they were supposed to do. And I never felt that my duty was a chore. I felt it was an obligation, and an obligation that I accepted and that I didn't. I certainly didn't resent. I went from the South Pacific up to the Aleutians.
Burr.
So there went my tan. I was on a ship for a while up there, and then I was on a Loran station in an isolated station in the Aleutians.
And what time of year was it? What was the weather like up there?
It was cold. It was windy, and it was snowy. We were up on a cliff, and we had to get our supplies from the main town on Attu. We were on this isolated station. We had just a little inlet where we could get a boat out and get a boat in, but the weather had to be perfect. So when we wanted, a ship would come over and bring the supplies, and we'd have to row out and get the supplies. But we could only do it if the weather was fine, if there wasn't big waves coming into this little inlet, because it was all rocky around there. So anyway, this one day we went out to get supplies from the ship and our pulling boat, and we got out there, and now we get the supplies, and we come back in, and a storm came up, as it was wont to do. There was a point that we had to come around. Well, the weather was going so that we weren't making much yardage in our pulling boat trying to get back over where we could get into our inlet. And it started filling with water, and we didn't have anything to bail with. So the bosun says, well, we better turn around and go back. So we turned around and rowed back to the ship, and they dropped a rope ladder over the side. And we all grabbed on the rope ladder just to see our little boat start sinking down into the water. So they had to get us another boat, and we had to wait for a while before we could get back to our base. And then we heard about the atomic bomb over there, too, and we were all interested in what that was. Marveled at what a piece of destruction it was. So at the station where we were up on the Aleutians, there was an equipment set where the Army had been there before, and they had skis and toboggans, and so we decided we were going to have a toboggan race. So we went up, and we're going up this hill behind us was really steep. When we came down, at the bottom of the hill was where our oil drums were in the snow, and then at the end of that is the cliff that you went over down in the ocean. So what we had to do is when we came down the hill, this big steep hill, and it was so steep that when you get up towards the top of it, you couldn't walk. You had to crawl up to the top of it. So then we'd get on these toboggans and come down. When you get down at the bottom, you had to jump off and hope that the toboggan ran into something. Because if you happen to miss everything, you were going to go over the cliff. Well, we came to our first test run. We were going to have a race. There were three of us. Our first test run is we're going up. There was a sawhorse that the leg of the sawhorse was sticking up out of the snow. And as we walked by it, the guy says, hey, we shouldn't come down here. We're probably going to hit that. And I said, heck, it's right in the middle of a big mountain. How are we ever going to hit this? So down we come, and there were four of us in the toboggan. And when we hit this arm, the toboggan naturally flipped over. The front stopped, and the back kept going. Well, the first guy went a little way. The second guy went farther. The third guy was me, and I went farther, and the fourth guy went farther. But I was hitting on my head and then my feet. I couldn't stop. I mean, I was going, just bouncing on my feet and then hitting on my head and then on my feet. Darn near killed my back. But that was one of our exciting things there. And then what we did is we found some hydrogen peroxide. And so we said, we were checking this stuff. And we said, well, what is hydrogen peroxide for? And the guy says, well, you can bleach your hair with it. So this other guy and I said, hey, that's great. Let's bleach our hair. Well, we bleached our hair, and I swear it wasn't a week after we bleached our hair that I got my papers to be discharged. And I had, but my hair had not turned blonde; it had turned green. So I had to shave off all my hair. because my hair and my bleaching my hair had turned it green rather than blonde. And so I didn't think it would be a good idea to fly back for discharge with green hair.
Although, you know, that might have worked out for the years that Lon spent announcing the Oakland A's games in that green and gold. When our tribute to the late Lon Simmons continues, we're going to hear how his major league dreams migrated from the mound to the booth. And you can listen to the full-length original interviews at hometownheroesradio.com. And we'll be right back after this.